Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, Bret Hart brutally buries the WWE Championship.
Seth Rollins talks about his wrestling Mount Rushmore and Hulk Hogan's place on it.
The Legacy Wing inductees to the WWE Hall of Fame 2020 and 2021 were announced last night.
And Mike Tyson is set to return to AEW Dynamite this week. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
Right, so let's kick things off with a little Bret Hart video that emerged over the weekend. Legendary burial artist Bret Hart is back at it again. So this clip of him was uploaded to his official Facebook page at the weekend. It's of him unboxing, if you will, unwrapping a replica of the Winged Eagle, the famous WWE Championship design that was in operation from 1988 to 1998, held by Bret himself five times. And I love Bret Hart for stuff like this, because even when he's doing something nice and be like, hey, look at this cool thing, he just can't help but get a shot in.
We got something really cool here. I always thought this was the most beautiful belt ever made, ever, in wrestling. God knows why they changed it to that piece of crap that they got. This is the Winged Eagle belt. It's the pride and joy of any wrestler that appreciates championships. And amongst fans, this is considered the real belt, a belt with a real history.
Yeah, I guess the current design has been in operation. I've got it written down. I can't find it. Since 2013, we've had, you know, replace the spinner belt. We've seen various, like, some tweaks to it. Obviously, the most notable one would be the WWE logo, which is not all squiggly anymore. It's more like just a normal W. You get the side plates and changes, but for the most part, it's been the same for a while now. It's not the most eye-catching WWE Championship design of all time, but I often think, like, with belt designs and stuff, and we've seen it with the IWGP World Heavyweight Divas Cody Rhodes tattoo title this week. You know, these things might look kind of jarring at first and be like, oh, no, I don't like that. But you get used to them very quickly, right? You're just like, ah, whatever, it's only a belt. But, you know, he's got a point about the Winged Eagle belt. That's one of the prettiest top-level WWE Championships of all time, and I do think it is quite important that your top prize in your promotion looks cool, looks like something that people would be proud to hold. So he's also held, of course, Bret, the big gold belt, WCW. So, like, he's had some of the prettiest belts in wrestling history. If he knows anything, if anyone's going to have an informed opinion on what looks cool as a world title, it's going to be Bret Hart. This was, you know, typical Bret, just slipping a little dig in there. He's great. He's one of the best of all time. I love him. I love his burials of stuff. God bless you, Bret Hart. Long may you reign.
Yeah, never change Bret Hart. Not a lot to say here. Please no one show Bret Hart the Jam Belt or the Divas title from back in the day, of course. Or, like Andy said, that new New Japan belt, which is horrible.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm sure the belt could be better, but it also, considering WWE's history, could be a lot worse. I still remember starting a What Culture doing a list about, like, the nicest belts, and someone showed me the Open the Dreamgate Championship, and I was like, well, that's perfect. What's some of your favourite belts, Andy?
Yeah, the Open the Dreamgate is awesome with the little lock and key and everything. Oh. But then, literally, my favourite belt of all time is the IWGP Championship that they just binned off and then they just got rid of. I love that. It's kind of complex and intricate and grand and beautiful. Yeah. So, you know, when I saw this new design, I was like, okay, I'm just going to hold my tongue here, make a little joke on social media and deal with it. But yeah, it sucks that they did that. But hey, again, shout-outs to Bret Hart, the king of belt opinions, in my opinion.
Good news, Will Ospreay, you're going to be world champion. Bad news, it's with this belt. Move on and talk about Seth Rollins and his thoughts about Hulk Hogan. He was chatting on the Complex Sports podcast, which is one of the best podcasts out there that isn't What Culture Wrestling's podcast, of course. And he was talking about his Mount Rushmore of wrestling. I've been practicing that, and then I messed up saying I've been practicing it.
Hey!
So he put Hulk Hogan on there alongside John Cena, Steve Austin, and Bruno Sammartino. He said Shawn Michaels was his favourite wrestler of all time, but he's talking about contributions to WWE and what they've meant to the business, so he replaced Shawn with Hulk Hogan, although he did clarify his position regarding Hogan and his, let's say, issues outside of the ring, saying that his contributions to the pro wrestling business aren't necessarily a reflection of the kind of human being that he is, saying, look, Hulk's always been really nice to me, but that doesn't make him a great human being. I think he's straddled that line pretty well there, Andy.
Yeah, I don't know how you could possibly have like a more balanced appraisal of Hulk Hogan. Obviously, his contributions to the pro wrestling business are undeniable, both as the transformational player in the golden era as WWE goes national and explodes and everything else. And then again, later in WCW as a heel, turning the New World Order, all of that stuff. So one of the most important figures, unquestionably, if your Mount Rushmore is about importance to the business, you can't not have Hulk Hogan on there, particularly if it's just American wrestling you're talking about. The other side of that is that, you know, the guy literally said, I am racist to a point on camera, and then in his apology blamed technology after dropping a hard N-bomb. So there are two sides to this coin, as always. Seth Rollins, very well spoken here. Fair play to him. Don't disagree with a word of it.
No, exactly. Spot on. It boils down to everyone's back and forth regarding him hosting WrestleMania and quite possibly why WWE felt the need to put someone like Titus O'Neil with him. We're not questioning the achievements he's had in the wrestling industry. Just outside of it, it doesn't seem like he's really got his head screwed on right, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's Hulk Hogan, he's an asshole. let's talk about the Legacy Wing inductees to the WWE Hall of Fame, which were announced on last night's ceremony. Not going to run through the whole ceremony if you want my thoughts on that. I'll be writing the ups and downs article for the website that should be up by the time this video goes out, so check that out. But the Legacy Wing is, you know, people who maybe dive further into the past, people the WWE audience themselves might not be as familiar with, maybe because the bulk of their work took place in other promotions or their best work took place elsewhere. And you know, this set of inductees fits that bill. So for the class of 2020, we had Ray Stevens, we had Brickhouse Brown, we had Dr. Death, Steve Williams. Love Dr. Death. Best forget his WWE run, but you know, beyond that, Steve Williams was awesome. Baron Michelle Leone and Gary Hart, legendary manager. And for the class of 2021, we got Dick the Bruiser, Pistol Pez Watley, Buzz Sawyer, one of my personal all-time favorites for his work, not for necessarily the kind of person he was. Ethel Johnson and Paul Bosch, the legendary promoter out of Houston. So yeah, a very deserving group of inductees. You could maybe make an argument that a few of these should have had their own inductees, maybe Steve Williams, maybe Dick the Bruiser. But then again, at the same time, it's like Steve Williams was in WWE for a cup of coffee and was in the Brawl for All disaster. There's reasons to put them in the Legacy Wing as well. Either way, the important thing is that they're in the Hall of Fame, so glad to see all of these names there.
Yeah, exactly. Well deserved for all of them. Like you say, the names that you mentioned there are more than deserving of it. If you're not sure what we're talking about, Google Jim Cornette, Dr. Destiny Williams, and Vince Russo, and you'll find out what you need to know about the genius idea that was the Brawl for All. But yes, deserving that they've got this recognition, and as you mentioned, Hall of Fame ups and downs will be up on the website later today, and I believe Simon Miller will be doing ups and downs as a video for the Hall of Fame as well, so make sure you look out for that on this channel a little bit later on. And we'll conclude with tonight's AEW Dynamite, of course, going up against the first night of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. They need something big. They have pulled something big out of the bag, and that is the return of Mike Tyson to AEW. He's appeared there twice before, once on an episode of Dynamite, and prior to that, the pay-per-view prior to that, in fact, on Double or Nothing, if you remember, holding the belt and yawning a bit. That's my basic recollection of what happened with Mike Tyson. Yep. The big question here, Andy, is it's all well and good having Mike Tyson on your show and desperately trying to pull in ratings with that, but where's Mickey Gooch? He's the real star of all this.
Yeah, if the Gooch doesn't show up on tonight's episode of Dynamite, I am giving it 70 downs in my article. No, I mean, you can kind of see what the case is here, right? They're going up against TakeOver. TakeOver's going to pop a good number. Io Shirai is in the main event. Io Shirai is a proven ratings draw. I think NXT is going to smoke Dynamite this week in terms of the numbers. I think they will beat them in overall viewership. I think that's pretty much a given. I think there's an outside chance that they might actually trump them in the demo as well for the first time. Finish above AEW in the cable rankings for the first time since what would be December 2019. I think there's a very good chance of that. They're going out with a big, big show at the end of the Wednesday Night Wars before transitioning over to Tuesdays. To me, it looks like bringing in Mike Tyson is, we should probably try and close the ratings gap a little bit. Bring in somebody who might attract more viewers in. Fair play, that's how wrestling promotions operate. But, you know, Mike Tyson's two contributions so far have been falling asleep, seemingly, at the pay-per-view and then not really ripping his T-shirt particularly well in that confrontation with Jericho. So whatever happens with Tyson, hope it goes a little smoother than those. Yeah, it's happening. TakeOver, the card is really great, though, so it's going to be a tough night.
A news full of problematic people today, including Mike
really
Tyson
is.
Now. One thing I would caveat the excitement around ratings with is I believe that Peacock is also carrying TakeOver Stand and Deliver, so maybe that'll affect the TV ratings. I don't know. I'm not really knowledgeable about that sort of thing. But as we all know, in terms of the Wednesday Night War ratings, it is last goal winner. So if NXT wins, NXT's won the Wednesday Night War, guys. The only way to stop this, sweet TK, get your gooch out for the lads. Right, okay, final question. Let's move on to your Twitter question. Today at What Culture WWE.
Brother.
If you want to get in touch with us, Mysterio Jr. says, with WrestleMania scheduled to have around 50,000 people, is this the end of the Thunderdome? Surely they can't go back to empty arena shows after this. Your thoughts? Have a splendid day. You too, Mysterio Jr. What do you reckon, Andy?
I could honestly speak for about 20 minutes on this topic, so forgive me if I ramble a little bit here, and the video is 400 minutes long. But in short, no, I don't think it will be. I think, like, most reports suggest that WWE won't return to touring immediately in live shows. They will wait off until summer. You know, the Thunderdome is very advantageous for WWE in a lot of ways. It saves on the costs of touring. It means you don't have to worry about rogue crowd reactions. You control the narrative. It's Vince McMahon's dream. He controls every single noise that comes out of that crowd's mouth. So I am very dubious about, you know, the long-term prospect of the Thunderdome going away. I think it'll be around for a lot longer than maybe people first thought and hoped and everything else. And also, WWE live events, you know, the untelevised shows were running at a loss and all that as well before all of this. So there's a lot of arguments to suggest that it will stick around a bit longer. I think it will stick around a bit longer, but I am so desperate for normal crowds, man. Like, watching the Hall of Fame last night, they piping in these chants and, like, the wrestling god thing that JBL, it's so artificial now, and the Thunderdome has been great. It's been so much better than the Performance Center was, but I'm ready for some real humans.
Yeah, I'd love for you to be right, Mysterio Jr., and there to be a packed house for the Raw after WrestleMania, but I've got to agree with Andy on this one. I think they're going to hold off for a lot longer than people realise. Just because they've got people in attendance for WrestleMania doesn't mean that Raw and SmackDown will have fans anytime soon. I think you're more likely... I've been reading a little bit about the vaccination rate in the US, and that's rocketing up, putting us to shame now here in the UK. Talking about, I think, herd immunity by June, July, perhaps. So maybe more realistic to expect crowds back for the Raw after SummerSlam and the Raw after WrestleMania. But we live in hope. Second question today comes from Jake on Twitter, who says, what current NXT star would you have make a surprise WrestleMania appearance? I'd like Karrion Kross to attack a newly crowned Drew McIntyre from behind, putting him in the cross jacket submission.
I'm going to steal an idea from Michael Sidgwick, my esteemed colleague, who tweeted this out yesterday. A bit of fantasy booking for WrestleMania. Bailey comes out, issues an open challenge. She's like, hey, why am I not on the card? I'm really good. out comes Io Shirai, probably after losing the NXT Women's title this week to Raquel Gonzalez, beats Bayley, is the start of a big main roster push. It's a great idea, and Michael Sidgwick is my sensei and a genius.
Yes, it's some fantastic booking there, but what I'd like to see is at WrestleMania, Vince McMahon comes out and says, look, this ongoing global bastards hit all of us hard. I had to sell a portion of the WWE to a consortium. Remember when they did that last time? And the consortium was Cameron Grimes, baby, to the moon! Because he's the only man rich enough to be on both TakeOver and WrestleMania. I love that man. But you mentioned Bayley there, and the final question today comes from Seth Fracker, who says, do you think that Bayley is being kept off WrestleMania to protect her so she can be a ready-made opponent for a returning Becky Lynch? With Seth being on SmackDown, it makes sense for Lynch to go to the blue brand, and Bayley would be a great opponent to come back to.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of your thoughts there. I think that would be a great first feud for Becky Lynch coming back. I'm just a bit dubious as to when Becky Lynch will be coming back with the recovery from giving birth. It's a long process by all accounts. I don't know. I've never given birth, unsurprisingly. No. But I'm sure there are a lot of hurdles to overcome. Depends how long Becky is or how far along she is in kind of getting back into peak wrestling shape. But I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, love that as an idea. Yeah, anyone who said, well, Becky Lynch gave birth in December, she could probably come back at the Royal Rumble. You are an idiot. You're an idiot, okay? I was fantasy booking the Bella Twins returning at WrestleMania, and they gave birth, I think, about 8 months ago, and me and Hamlet were still like, I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's going to be okay or not. I don't know if we're being very presumptive booking them there. So, yeah, but I love that as a piece of booking. I don't think that's the reason Bayley's being kept off. Hopefully she will have a match at WrestleMania, and like we mentioned, that booking a Sidgwick's the perfect way to do it. Let's move on to today's, and finally, Andy mentioned the Hall of Fame, and I just want to give yet another nod to one of the nicest people in wrestling, that being Molly Holly. Andy's tweeted about some lovely things that she did as part of her Hall of Fame speech, and you can read all about it in his Ups and Downs article, and a great quote shared by WWE on Fox overnight. There's only been two people who've had their head shaved at WrestleMania. One was the most influential person to step foot in a wrestling ring, and the other was Vince McMahon. I love Molly Holly. Maybe not as much as Phil Chambers, but I love her, and she's just brilliant, isn't she?
Yeah, her Hall of Fame speech was basically like 10 seconds of that joke, and then like 2.5 minutes of her just mentioning other people, not even going into herself. She does not have a shred of ego. She's a legend. Congratulations to her. She deserves it.
She is too pure for this business.
Really?
Let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section down below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Daddy Boy sitting down to preview the final Wednesday night war ever a little bit later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. Follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
Follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Happy Birthday, David Otunga. My favourite lawyer.
Remember he had the coffee gimmick. Happy birthday, yeah. David Otunga. Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.